5 special guests join us this hour, and you don't want to miss them.
The world is not waiting for a new definition of Christianity. It's waiting for a new demonstration of Christianity.
Now, I want you to notice something from the book of Acts, that whenever the kingdom is advancing, it's because the word of God is being proclaimed. You want to advance the kingdom? Proclaim. Proclaim. Proclaim the truth.
And I'm talking about a gospel that's been invented in hell and now being propagated all over the United States, a gospel that has yielded to the desires and the weakness of sinful men. I call it the gospel of accommodation because it's adapting and adjusting the gospel to appease.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today, Jan will be sharing 5 special interviews she conducted during the 2018 Understanding the Times Conference held in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, on September 29th. Her speakers at this year's conference were those she interviewed. They include J.D. Farag, Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Billy Crone, and Eric Barger. We think you'll enjoy the many themes discussed on today's program, so let's get started. Here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. Say, back on September 29th, we had our 22nd Understanding the Times conference since 2002. At that time, I took the opportunity to interview my 5 speakers, and I'm playing clips of these men this hour from those interviews, and we're covering a myriad of topics well beyond what they spoke about at our event. And in this hour, I'll be talking then to Pastor J.D. Farag, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, and Eric Barger. And I think you will find some of the insights given to be very cutting edge. We talk about current events, Bible prophecy, apologetics, issues in the church, and more. We have complete sets of CDs and DVDs of this event. We encourage the DVDs only because 2 speakers used extensive video in their presentation, which can marginalize the CDs a bit, although we still offer CDs and DVDs. You can find them in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. or by calling us. Full contact is given throughout the program. Now, all messages are also posted at my website, olivetreeviews.org. Let me just say that thousands gathered from 55 states, Canadian provinces, and foreign countries. This is back on September 29th. They come from around the world to be together and to enjoy like-minded fellowship. And some feel like outsiders in their church. Others have no church. And so they feel their church has left them. Thus, they gather at conferences around North America, presenting topics like those presented at my event. I'm beginning my interview with Pastor J.D. Farag. Now, these full interviews are posted on YouTube and my website as well. So I'm just playing short clips from each of these 5 interviews, opening with Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
You know, we're heading towards the end of 2018, mm-hmm. and what in this year would tell you, I mean, there's lots of things that have happened this year. Israel and America have grown closer together. We've got activity in the Middle East. We've got Iran, Turkey, all these alignment. But is there one thing that's happened in 2018 that says to you, oh my, it really is late?
Yes, and that would be, in a word, Jerusalem and the centrality of Jerusalem. And I think the relocating of the U.S. Embassy.
And that was on my list.
Right. And for President Trump to do it on the 70th anniversary of Israel's rebirth as a nation on May 14th of 2018 was significant. Mm-hmm. It's like you've always said, Jan, you know, that Israel is God's prophetic clock. Israel is the hour hand, Jerusalem the minute hand, and the Temple Mount, the second hand on that clock.
Yeah. The other thing, if there's one word that I would probably be pointing to again, and we've talked about this on air and privately, and that's that word convergence.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a remarkable convergence in 2018. We've seen activity around and near Damascus. We've seen the rise again of Putin, the rise of Turkey. When in this world was Turkey important? Until probably the last few years, anyway.
Right.
We've seen the rise of apostasy in the church. We've seen a red heifer born in Israel. Mm-hmm. There have been other red heifers. Maybe this will be amount to nothing. But nonetheless, as you and I have said, that convergence is getting so, you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, there's nothing to this.
Yes, it would be disingenuous at best, dishonest at worst to do so, because everything is lining up perfectly and precisely as we're told in God's word it would.
You hear from people, as do I and all of my speakers, and was on the phone this morning with another one of them, and in the hotel that he's in, folks came up to Pastor Jack and said, you know, we don't have a church. We don't have a pastor. You're a pastor. A number of you gentlemen, you, Billy Crone, Amir, Jack, others, you're kind of turning into America's pastors. I know you didn't sign up for that. I get that. But that, too, is a bit of a commentary on the lateness of the hour. The Bible said there'd be a falling away. The Bible said there'd be apostasy in the end times. The Bible said people would be giving heed to the doctrine of demons instead of sound doctrine. Revelation. And so people are looking for sound doctrine. It's not just an issue of, well, we want to hear Bible prophecy preached every Sunday.
Right.
They're not asking for that.
Right.
You do that. They want sound doctrine.
Right.
So they're having a hard time even finding that.
You know, Jan, you touch on a topic that for me has been both conflicting and even humbling. And I have to say that last year, coming here to your conference and speaking, as was my privilege to be asked, I was really taken back by how many people said what you just said, some of whom had traveled great distances. Last night when John brought me from the airport to the hotel, pull into the parking lot, it's a little bit later at night, so all the cars were parked there, and we were noticing all of the license plates from New York, Texas, all over the U.S. I jokingly said, we just need to see a Hawaii plate, which we didn't, but I think it speaks to the hunger and the thirst on the part of God's people for sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine for truth.
Yes.
For warning signs, what they should be looking for. I think some are a little frightened. We're seeing a rise of evil. Mm-hmm. We're seeing even a rise of evil in Washington, our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. Washington is almost the capital of the world because it's so important. And then we see the left pushing back so hard, pushing back against righteousness, against the gospel, against God, against Christianity. I have a slide in one of my presentations, a man holding a sign, if Jesus comes back, kill him again.
Yeah.
So we've got this hostility towards things that are of God. I've never seen it in my lifetime like now.
I just got done teaching through Ephesians chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And, of course, the ending of this epistle by the Apostle Paul focused in on spiritual warfare. And I was struck by this verse where he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's an interesting word because wrestling was full-on contact. We struggle, yes, but wrestling is more intense. And I think about Jacob, who wrestled with, I believe it was the Lord, a Christophany, and he wrestled all night with the Lord. This infers that our wrestling, our battle, is in the spiritual realm. What we're seeing in the United States today, particularly, is a spiritual battle, the likes of which we have never seen in human history.
Never. Absolutely.
And that's another sign.
It's another sign.
It's another sign.
It's another sign. Absolutely. A year ago, almost to the day, you and Amir and I sat in a room just like this, and we'd had a casual 45-minute talk about events of the day back then, and you and I happened to reference pre-trib rapture. And in the context of, because this world's going haywire, thank God we have the hope, our blessed hope of a pre-trib. We were roundly mocked, scoffed for almost a full year. Videos made of us and everything. And that's fine. Be my guest. I really could care less. I believe it's the truth and it's great comfort. And I think part of it is you and I are very sensitive and we weep for the world. We weep for what the world is going through. We want our Lord to come and deliver us from the circumstances that so many are caught up. You and I live fairly comfortably now. Doesn't mean we're going to be this way or forever. The awful lot of people aren't living comfortably. They're under persecution. Look in the Middle East, your heritage.
Yes. Jan, and I'll be talking about this in my teaching tomorrow. The blessed hope is the only hope.
It's the only hope we have.
And as I see what's taking place in this world today, I just say to myself, to encourage myself in the Lord, that you're coming soon, Lord. And as bad as things are getting, I know this for a certainty, that no matter how bad it gets, and it could, as you
said. It could. Pastor Jack feels it's going to get bad for us even in the coming short time ahead. Yeah.
But here's the thing. God is going to get us through no matter how bad it is up until that time, soon and very soon, when that trumpet sounds. And when you have that to look forward to, the blessed hope, it makes whatever you're going through easier to get through.
That's my point.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing I want to stress, Pastor J.D., is you and I are not escape artists. We'd like to depart, but that's not our motive. Mm-hmm. Our motive isn't to escape. Our motive is to be salt and light and delay the decay as long as we can. But I think that we get labeled as escape artists. We just want to get out of here. And I mean, I want to fight the last minute, the last second.
And that's what our faith is. It's a good fight of faith.
Yeah.
And it is a war.
It is.
It's not a playground, as one said. It's a battleground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think what our critics are not quite perceiving is there's such a difference when it comes to the wrath of man, the wrath of Satan, the wrath of God, and that God just doesn't pour out his wrath on his church, on his bride. Mm-hmm. He lets mankind do it, sadly. And as we see that going on in the Middle East and Africa, but God doesn't pour out his wrath on his church. Why would he do that?
Right.
He died for the church.
Right. Well, again, as it's been said, the purpose of the tribulation is for the salvation
Israel.
Of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
And it is that 70th week of Daniel. It is a period of seven. It's not 3.5 or pre-wrath or any of that. It has to be seven, a period of seven. It is the number of completion.
Understanding the Times Radio is a weekly connection to the important issues facing our world as seen through the lens of the Bible. When many have abandoned the truth, we are pursuing it. Join us every week at this time.
Our annual Understanding the Times conference was held this fall on September 29th. Here are a few live comments from those who attended.
This is just a fabulous conference. I am so thrilled to be here to hear Jack Hibbs and Amir and J.D. Farag. You don't hear this anyplace else.
Speakers have been fantastic. It is so relevant for now. We're just not hearing that kind of truth in the churches.
This program brings you the hope every weekend that reinforces the truth that God is in control. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Next, I talk to Israeli Amir Sarfati. We talk about the generation that will not pass away. We talk about a number of other things, some current events. We talk about what the Washington Institute has predicted for 2019, a major Middle East war. And he talks about his biggest fear, Christians falling asleep. Again, this is about a 25-minute interview. I'm only playing 10 minutes of that interview. You can find all of them at my website, and they're all attached to our CDs and DVDs, conference products as well. You get the full interview on both CDs and DVDs. Let's head over to my conversation with Amir Sarfati from Behold Israel.
Well, you're an Israeli looking, and you're in America now, and as you peruse America, and you've come to America at a very sensitive time, you can see the growing lawlessness.
Yes.
You can see the growing hatred of good people, Christians, God, patriotism, love of whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a certain faction in America that hates this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with this as an Israeli? I mean, I'm sure you want to see America as a strong, independent country. We're filled with good people, and we are. But right now, we're divided more than since 150 years ago.
Yes. We are a very, very divided nation. But I think, as I said before, even here on this stage, you're still divided with a way to choose between, for example, kneeling and standing, whereas in other countries, everybody kneels already. Mm-hmm. So my point is, there is still hope that I see here of people taking the right decision. I tell you what the biggest fear I have, because I've seen America falling asleep for the longest time. I've seen lawlessness increasing. I've seen so much garbage comes out and exported to the whole world through Hollywood and the TV and music and everything. But what I am more afraid is that the Christians will fall asleep again. They did their share. They voted. He is in office. It's better than ever before. Now we don't really have to do anything anymore. And I think that my biggest fear is that instead of facing the enemy, we're actually start attacking one another.
Okay.
We're facing one another, attacking one another. And that's my fear. Because look, we will never be the majority. Until we enter the New Jerusalem, Christians will always be the minority everywhere. Mm. So the strive to be popular and the majority, it's just false. I think, though, that if there is one thing we need to remember is to stay together. And, you know, in Hebrews 10, when it speaks of how we need to hold fast to that, the confession of our hope, and we need to esteem one another. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure one another is really not put down, but actually supported. And that's what is lacking. And you know what? You see it even in a political arena.
Yeah.
You see that everywhere.
Well, the other thing, Hebrews 10, is encourage one another.
Correct.
And I can tell you, and you get enough feedback, email, and other social media that will tell you the saints are discouraged.
Yes.
Because there's not enough fellowship. There's not Yes. enough who believe like you and I do. Mm-hmm. It's the remnant. You gave a message recently. I saw it online. And folks, you need to sign up. Go to his YouTube, Behold Israel, and get on the various social media. It's regular updates, more than once a week. You gave a message. I caught it. The generation that will not pass away. And you define a generation, I think rightfully so, 70, 80 years or so. And of course it
Moses
was,
defines it that way.
Sure.
Psalm 90. So.
Exactly. And the perspective is when the fig tree blossomed,
yeah.
Which, of course, 1948. So I think you feel we're in the generation that will not pass away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. encouragement, and
it's,
we need it.
It's an amazing thing to belong to a generation that is, the Bible talks about two things. When you see the fig tree,
mm-hmm.
in Hebrews it says you see the day approaching. And in both cases, the verb is to see. To feel, not to hope for, not to pray for. Physical verb of actual thing that can only be done by a person who is alive at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing. I mean, I can go outside right now and ask any person in that room if he can see Israel in existence. He will say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if we went back 100 years ago,
right.
You would ask them, do you see Israel in existence? They say, no, but we believe it's going to happen,
yep.
We hope, we pray. We don't even have to do that. We see. And not only that, Jesus said to them in Matthew 24, he talked about the fact that it's not just getting tender, but the leaves comes out.
That's
in
right.
other words, the tree will bloom. It's going to blossom. Israel will not just be one more country in the Middle East that is on the verge of annihilation by all of its enemies. Israel will prosper and bloom, and their people all around will see
That's
and
right.
envy.
But Israel is Satan's biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem, I mean, Israel is proof that God exists,
yeah.
proof that the devil can't stamp it out. He's tried to, my goodness, from the Holocaust to the pogroms, you name it, he's tried. Israel's proof that God keeps his promises.
Yes.
And it's a real problem for the devil.
Yes.
Real problem.
Real problem.
And therefore, he's not going to let up.
You know why it's such a big problem? Because Satan understands that the spiritual and the religious privileges of Israel can never be taken.
Mm-hmm.
He can also understand that Christian Gentiles have been added and
That's
grafted
right.
into either the olive tree
right.
or the vine. But no Gentile can be grafted into the fig tree because the fig tree is a symbol of national Israel. And we're watching at the national Israel, the nation of Israel, per se, being born. And he cannot figure that one out.
I know.
This is the thing. Israel's birth drives the world crazy.
Yeah.
Israel's flourishing drives the world crazy. Israel's might, strength, power, mm-hmm. innovation. Look, if we were here in 1948, we would all be amazed at the fact that we even exist.
Right.
We're not amazed at the fact that we exist. We're amazed at the fact that we're the
eighth most
powerful nation in the world.
Isn't that incredible?
It's beyond incredible.
Size of New Jersey.
Exactly. To think that Saudi Arabia will buy weapons from us?
Yeah.
To think that we can extract water from the air and water trees next to no stream of water? To think that we can have the technology that will embarrass the Russians' latest weapons systems? This is beyond what you and I can ever imagine, and that is why I believe we look and see not just the beginning of the fig trees back to life, we're watching it blooming.
Mm. Washington Institute recently came out, and they're a kind of a U.S. policy in the Middle East type organization. They're in the prediction business, but this is an interesting prediction. 2019, they're saying Middle East, big war, many players. youth, could that be a biblical war? Is it maybe just Israel's neighbors going to do something mischievous? What do you think?
I think that what the Washington Institute is looking at is the fact that it's not going to be the traditional Israel versus the Arabs. That's, if you read the entire analysis, they're actually amazed at the new players in the whole neighborhood of the Middle East. And that is why it's going to be the big war in the north. That's what they said.
Okay.
And by the way, they could have mentioned Gaza. They didn't. They could have mentioned the south. They didn't.
Do you witness to this? Do you think this could be true?
Absolutely.
You do?
Look, every Israeli soldier know that.
Okay.
Gaza is a distraction.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a smokescreen.
Right.
The real problem of Israel, and this is from the podium of the United Nations General Assembly, Prime Minister Netanyahu showed only two things. He didn't talk about Gaza and the violence there. He talked about what's going on with Iran and what's going on with the proxies of Iran. That's it. The north is where the evil is going to come, and we're watching it. We're seeing it. We have great intelligence.
I know you do.
To the point that we see people walking. We know their names.
Yeah.
We know where they live. We knock on their doors. We ask, why is it that you were dreaming last night about this?
Yeah.
And the Iranians are so terrified because somewhere in their uppermost echelon, they have Israeli agents.
And don't forget, when you write to us, we always tell us what station you're listening to. That helps us here in the office better process things. And why don't you check out our social media, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, for Facebook, for Twitter, Olive Tree Men. We're coming back in just a minute or two with part two. I'm going to be talking to Pastor Jack Hibbs and my other speakers as we move into the hour.
Please remember, audio and video recordings are available from our fall conference, which include the full interviews from each of the conference speakers, along with their conference message. You can order those conference memories online at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. This program comes to you every weekend without charge. We're so thankful to our listeners for supporting this broadcast with their prayers and financial gifts. We could not come into so many radio markets across America without your help. Your tax-deductible donations are welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or you can give online when you visit olivetreeviews.org. Jan will be right back with Jack Hibbs, Billy Crone, and Eric Barger. Almost 5,000 people gathered from around the world on Saturday, September 29th, to be encouraged and to learn to become watchmen on the wall. We will be ready to ship CDs and DVDs of this event around November 1st. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
I believe 1948 was a great sound of the trumpet. 1967 was a great sound of the trumpet. If I may say, 2018 was a great sound of trumpet as well. All I'm waiting for is the last trumpet.
Pastor Billy Crone.
Maybe it's going to be Watson who's going to help the Antichrist control the buying and selling. It's not far-fetched, folks, when you take a look at the technology.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
I believe the rapture can happen at any time because of the current situation in Syria, specifically concerning Damascus.
Eric Barger.
They are a surveillance society beyond all others, and I remember whispering about this to myself and then saying it to you and others. This is made for the Antichrist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment in his second coming. The rapture, he receives us in the atmosphere to himself to take us where he's been.
Order in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. They will be offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up online. You can mail in your order as well. We live in unprecedented times. Headlines are a herald of his coming. These messages will encourage you to see that nothing is falling apart. Things are all falling together. Order today and don't be left behind.
Anytime you put
anything in front of the gospel of Jesus Christ, anytime you place something higher, you give more emphasis to something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are committing apostasy. You are going to see. It's already happening. You're going to see it. You're going to see maybe even the great majority of evangelicals are going to deny the uniqueness of Christ. They're going to say, Christ is my Savior, but they're not going to say He is the Savior. Listen, I could become the most popular preacher in America tomorrow. I could be on every liberal talk show, news program, and everything. All I have to do, I have to stop saying Jesus is the Savior and start saying He is a Savior, and everyone will applaud me.
Understanding the Times Radio continues. In this segment, Jan meets with pastors Jack Hibbs and Billy Crone. Once again, Jan Markell.
I'm playing off of my conference from September 29th, and at that event, I took time to have a special interview of each of my five speakers, Pastor J.D. Farag, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, and Eric Barger. And I'm just playing a short clip from each of those five interviews. These interviews are a part of our conference CDs and DVDs. They're in their entirety, 20, 25-minute interviews of all speakers. But I'm heading now into Pastor Jack Hibbs, and he and I talk about some of the major events of 2018. And also, as we move into the last of the last days, we talk about some of the issues related to that as well. Also, I ask Jack, just how, shall I say, off base can a church get, which would warrant the leaving of that church? Because I get so many issues, so many emails, letters about churches that have gone haywire and sideways. And so Jack and I talk about that as well in this short little 8-minute interview.
Is there one thing that's happened in the last year that just stunned you?
So much has stunned me, but I believe that it is the great step forward. How this plays out prophetically, we shall see. But for Trump to fearlessly take the lead to relocate the embassy to Jerusalem, every president has talked about it, but this man has had the guts to do it. He appears to fear no one.
Yeah.
And for me personally, that movement put a gigantic exclamation point on the fact that we are so into the last days movement of things that if you're wondering if the rapture is going to take place, I think people should take notice that if we're starting to see the precursor arrangements of tribulation period events,
that's right,
then how much closer is the rapture of the church?
That's right.
You know, Jan, it's funny. I went into the store yesterday before flying here. I happened to have gone into a Walmart in Chino Hills. Now, this is September, and for the first time, I've never seen it this soon, this early, but they had all of the Christmas decorations out at Walmart in September. It's not Halloween yet. It's not Thanksgiving yet, but they're ready for Christmas. Well, you know what? If I'm seeing all these things about Christmas, then how close must Halloween be and how close must Thanksgiving be?
Yeah.
It's just like that with the rapture. If we're seeing these things now set up in the world, then any day now.
So many people, and you've even met them since you arrived, which isn't that long ago, and they're looking for a church and their heart is kind of broken. Maybe the church of their 40 years has gone sideways. And obviously the prophetic word is not talked about hardly any place. I want to ask you as a pastor, and let's just say we had a room filled with people right now who kind of had left their church because they were unhappy with it. How imperfect can a church be? But you hang in there with it. Now, can't have apostasy, can't have blatantly false teaching, but there's no such thing as a perfect church. My concern is that some people are going, moving around and moving around looking for perfection, which will never happen. So how imperfect can it be? And we still stick with it.
Jan, what a sweet question to ask of a pastor,
because
I can tell you
I'm
right
asking
now.
You.
Look, every pastor I know wants their church to be like the Philadelphian church in the
Absolutely.
Book of Revelation. That's what I strive for. But yet in a church our size, for example, are there Corinthians there? Are there those of the Ephesians, of the Colossians? Of course there are. So you ask a great question. Paul the Apostle said that he loved the church at Corinth. Would you and I attend the church at Corinth? I don't think so, but Paul loved them. But here's their thing. Corinthians had good doctrine. They had bad lifestyles. And he wrote to them to correct that lifestyle. So number one, I would say, go to a Bible teaching church that upholds the tenets of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I would go on from there. I believe that the tenets of Christianity also includes, beyond the deity of Jesus Christ, which is an obvious, that the Word of God is the Word of God, Jan. There's a lot of churches today that look pretty good, but they have selected portions of the Bible that they right. have decided that are inspired. That's a dangerous thing. But ultimately, I would want to be at a premillennial
Absolutely.
Church. What is that, Pastor? Yeah. Premillennial church is what we would say comfortably a futurist church. What does that mean? It means that we take the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation factually, actually, as it's written, where it's poetic. The Bible says it's poetic. When the Bible says it's historic, it's historic. It's very clear. We have to make things up. So the Word of God is clear. I believe that Genesis to Revelation is the entire inspired Word of God. I do not believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And so when the Bible says, for example, poetically, that we can take shelter under God's wings. Well, God doesn't have wings. He's telling us that I'm going to protect you like a chicken protects her hens. Mm-hmm. But when the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you better believe it. Those things, in my opinion, divide those who claim to believe, from those who do believe.
Well, we've got lots of issues in the church. You and I could write a book together on this very, very easily. We've got the postmodern, we've got emergent, we've got purpose-driven, we've got seeker-sensitive, we've got the eschatological aberrations, and you've referred to it. We need to be pre-mill. You can be pre-mill and be post-trib. That's a problem.
That's a problem. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. Yeah. But even still, if somebody holds that view, let's say they'll argue pre-mill but they're post-trib. I can tell you right now, without meeting them, they have an issue with Israel.
Absolutely.
That's their key, by the way.
That's right.
That would mean, isn't this fun, Jan? We get to talk about this right now because we may not know anybody specifically, but we get to argue this because we know the Bible directly. If you have a problem with the nation of Israel and the prophecies and the promises God gave to Israel, you have that issue because you were brought up in a denomination that refused to address the accuracy of the Word of God. And I'll go so far to say this. If you do not believe that God will faithfully fulfill the promises that He's made to Israel, then what on earth do you have as a guarantee that God will fulfill His promises
Amen.
To you?
Amen. Then He's a covenant breaker.
He's a covenant breaker, and that's not the God I want to be
involved. That's not the God I care to serve either. But having said that, look, before we even started taping, we were talking about preterism. Okay, that's something that's so kind of off the wall. We're not going to go there, but all prophecy happened in 70 AD.
It's false doctrine.
But you got amillennialism. You've got a lot of replacement theology today. Yes. The church is Israel. You've got a lot of kingdom now. The church is going to make the world perfect.
Never
it's going to take 25 million years for that to happen. My only point is there's been a lot of aberrations that they're sprouting up like mushrooms.
Yeah.
And look, the First Baptist Church down the street probably was solid for 100 years, and all of a sudden somebody came along, and man, it's way off now, and people are heartbroken.
You know,
do they stay, or do they try to change it?
I would answer that yes.
Yes.
Pray, try to change it. When God tells you, dust off your feet and move on, then you better obey the Lord and move on. But I've talked to many people who visit our church on a weekly basis from all across the land.
That's right.
And, you know, they'll pick Southern California as a vacation spot, but they'll also include sitting in under services. And I meet them. I get to talk to them. And they'll say, you know, Pastor, we go to a church in XYZ town. They are embracing this. They're embracing that. Yeah. They have prayer meetings now with Muslims. But, you know, we love the people that are there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I would also encourage you to also, if that's what's happening, you need to love the people out of there. You need to counsel them. And maybe it's time that a fresh new work would start up. New wineskins to hold the new wine.
Almost 5,000 people gathered from around the world on Saturday, September 29th to be encouraged and to learn to become watchmen on the wall.
I am here just to hear Jan and her ministry and the wonderful speakers that she brings in and just to put Revelations into contemporary terms.
The world seems like it's falling apart. There are heightened tensions between world powers, and there are also natural disasters seemingly much more fierce than in years past. So many people are asking, where is God in all of this?
Keeping you informed and aware of how the Bible is playing out through our daily news is our main purpose for coming to you every week. We are Understanding the Times with Jan Markell.
Moving into now my interview with Pastor Billy Crone, Sunrise Bible Church, Las Vegas, Nevada. And I talked to Billy about a lot of topics because he's an intriguing speaker with lots of information and knowledge about many topics. And we open up about the convergence. What stands out in 2018 as it comes to issues that are talking about and reflecting the countdown to the end of the church age? And he felt the convergence of such issues was huge. We also talk about the belief that the Jewish people have that Donald Trump is going to help them build the third temple. That would be known as the Tribulation Temple to Christians. Let's get into my very short, I'm only playing 10 minutes out of the 20-minute interview of Pastor Billy Crone. I had asked another of my speakers, and 2018's winding down, yeah. And what in his mind was the most stunning event of 2018, and he gave me his very educated opinion. So I'll ask you the same thing. I mean, we've got breaking news literally every few minutes. Mm-hmm. That's stunning.
Yeah.
What stands out the most to you?
Well, what really stands out to me, again, is the convergence factor. Mm-hmm. Everybody staying on top of it, that's what gets so challenging to present the information.
Right.
Because it's not just so much is happening. So much is happening simultaneously from so many different angles. Whether it's one world government, whether it's Big Brother issues, whether it's a one world economy, a cashless society,
yeah.
The technology for the Mark of the Beast system, whether it be the push for a global religion, what's going on with the Vatican, with all that going on, what's going on in our own government, and the apostasy of the church.
The apostasy.
Boy, that's all over the place. But it's all those things happening all at the same time, nonstop. And if anything, it's escalating.
The thing I think you've made me aware of in the last year, and quite frankly, I was moderately tuned into it, and then I watched you present in Pastor J.D.'s pulpit in Hawaii, and you talked about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And I had you on air for a two-part series on radio. The disadvantage of radio is I can't be visual.
Yeah.
We did the best we could, and I'll tell you, it sparked my audience, got really curious. Even yeah. though we're not visual on radio, still what we had to share really sparked their curiosity. They were not tuned in to what artificial intelligence, how it's advancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we tried to present is how this is going to be handed over someday to an administration that will not be benevolent. You want to explain that?
Yeah, well, I really think that when you understand what's going on with artificial intelligence, I'll use the word, it's a global invasion of this technology. And I keep reminding people every time I have an opportunity to talk about it, share it, is artificial intelligence is not coming. Artificial yeah. intelligence is not even now, even here. Artificial intelligence has been here for quite some time. Most people don't know it, and it's permeating literally every aspect of society. It could be from military to medical to finances,
right.
Personal convenience. It's being sold, you know, it's going to be the new wave of personal convenience. It'll do everything for you. It's your companion.
It's your
bodyguard. It'll be your new police force. And it is happening before our very eyes. In what's, and I've shared this stat before on a program with you, Jen, 63% of people right now don't even realize that they're already using things
right.
that involve
right.
artificial intelligence.
Right.
Including social media.
Well, this Elon Musk, we keep quoting him. He's a technology guy. He says this is more dangerous than nuclear weapons. He uses our terms. He says, if we're going to play around with this, we're summoning up demons. What do you think he meant when he said we're summoning up demons?
Well, if you look at that interview, and Lord willing, if I don't have to, for the sake of time, cut it, I have it, that actual interview, a little bit more fuller than what mm-hmm. beyond just the summoning up the demon quote.
Yeah, I know it's more extensive, yes.
Yeah, but you look at the context, what he's really talking about is summoning up the demon. It's a nightmare scenario that you can't control. He used the analogy of the Exorcist. They thought they were going to control
yeah.
it, but they didn't. Of course, that was a movie. But he used that as a segue to basically then talk about the Terminator scenario.
Yeah.
And that's his nightmare demonic scenario that he's saying, yeah, that's a science fiction movie. He says, basically, in essence, it's about to become a reality. In fact, what I'll, Lord willing, possibly be sharing, if I can get that far, is the video clip of another interview he did. And the lady, even after he shared basically the same concern he had with the AI, summoning up the demon, she kind of tongue-in-cheek says something akin to, well, we'll just escape to Mars. And he just flat out didn't miss a beat and said, oh, the AI will find us there very shortly.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Why do you think pulpits aren't even talking about this? I mean, I think this is something to prepare folks for, to warn folks about.
Mm-hmm.
And then if
if we put it in a last days context, it becomes far more meaningful and significant.
Oh, absolutely. Bible prophecy, when you share things like this, on the one hand, yeah, it's concerning. I mean, I say all the time, I got a wife, yeah. I got two kids, I get it, right? And, you know, I'm not looking forward to if we're in the days and genuine persecution comes to America, but we got to deal with reality. We can't stick our head in the sand.
Right.
But for the born-again Christian who's longing for his appearing, which is a healthy scenario,
yes,
and how it's supposed to be, this information shouldn't scare you. It should excite you. That's all this information should do, is like, wow, if this is the technology, if this is what's going to happen and find its ultimate fulfillment in the seven-year tribulation, and the rapture happens prior, we don't know the day nor the hour, but man, this is exciting. It's imminent. The rapture, wow, we could be going to be with Jesus. That's the best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario. You handed me something very interesting as you came in, and I'll let you explain it. Donald Trump and King Cyrus are on this shekel. It is a shekel, am I right?
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of this. I've not actually seen the exact coin.
Yeah.
And on the other side is a picture of the temple.
Yeah.
And why don't you explain this? Why did you get it? And,
well,
I mean, I'm familiar with it from seeing things online about it. It's fascinating to see the actual coin itself.
I'm currently back in a major prophecy study on Sunday mornings, yeah, at the church. And this first section of 10, this one's called The Jewish People and the Antichrist. So obviously I'm dealing with what's going on with Israel currently. Of course, this is something that's in the news. It's been out there for a little while now. And you can see pictures on the internet.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I wanted to make sure. I'm not saying it. I didn't distrust the sources that were out there, but I said, I want to get my hands on one of these coins. And so sure enough, I risked, paid up for it. And 2 weeks later, they actually sent it. And I couldn't believe it. It still is to this day, Jen, a surreal moment for me. And I think it should be for any Christian to hold this in your hands, because you not only see our president's head on a Jewish temple coin, the shekel coin, mm-hmm, for the temple, which they state is for the purposes of aiding in building this next temple, which,
yes,
we know will be the one the Antichrist
one
goes into.
That's right.
Halfway into the seven-year tribulation. You're holding a piece of prophetic history in your hand, layered there with Cyrus.
Yeah.
Cyrus, of course, we know, helped the Jews build the temple again. This isn't just commemorative. They did this because they believe, right now as we are doing this interview, the Jewish people believe our president, President Trump, will be the one to help them rebuild this third temple that, mm-hmm, we know the Antichrist is going up into. And lest you doubt, that's what the back end is,
yeah,
is with the temple on there. I wanted to get it also just to verify that, but it's the wow factor. And everybody that's seen it, touched it, it is that surreal moment, Jen, where you literally say, wow. This is happening before our very eyes.
There's a lot of temple talk. There's a lot of, I mean, the vestments are being prepared. The sheep are ready. Now, a red heifer was born recently in the last 2-3 weeks, and there have been other red heifers, and they do fizzle out because they get a white hair on them.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is priests are getting ready. Everything's getting ready, and then we see things like this. And, you know, some would say, well, the next temple is irrelevant to Christians. Well, yes and no. I mean, no, because it's a sign of, again, of the lateness of the hour.
Right.
If we're actually talking the building of the temple, the items within the temple, the priests of the and now we have a coin.
Right. That's right. Okay. Are we Christians going to be there when the Antichrist goes? No, of course not. We know that. Are the Christians going to be there? Because, well, I'll get emails and phone calls. I'm sure you do,
yeah,
too. Hey, should I use my ATM card? It's a cashless thing, and maybe that's the mark of the beast. No. The Bible says the mark of the beast does not come into play until the seven-year tribulation. The church is raptured out, yeah, prior. So then you don't throw the baby out the bathwater. You don't say, well, then I don't need to know any of this information because we're not going to have to deal with it. No, the point is this. If we see the technology,
yeah,
if we see the actual coins, if we see the alignment of nations, if we see the, yeah, technology, etc., 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 for all these events that are clearly going to take place during the seven-year tribulation, for us, again, it should translate to excitement. Well, wait a second. If we already have the technology to pull off the mark of the beast, if we already have the Jewish people just sitting there ready to go, even producing the coins for this temple in the seven, then how much closer is the rapture of the church? Yes, we don't know the day nor the hour, but all this does is show us it is so imminent, more so ever than in the history of the church, and we better maximize this opportunity. It's a time to be excited. It's a time to be faithful, and it's a time to stop procrastinating,
yeah,
get busy sharing the gospel.
Okay. Again, we have complete sets of CDs and DVDs. Speakers, Pastor J.D. Farag, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Eric Barger, and the full 5 interviews of each of these men included on our DVDs and CDs. It's just a bonus for you folks. So you can get a lot more information from these 20-25 minute interviews of each speaker. I'm going to come back and wrap it up. I'm going to talk about, again, the surveillance society. You may not think you're being surveilled. I promise you, you are. We'll talk about it as we go out of this program. Don't go away.
When everything around us seems to be coming unglued, isn't it good to know there's a voice telling the truth and assuring us of God's imminent return? This broadcast is dedicated to keeping you informed on the issues of the day. We're here to remind and to encourage you that God is still in control. Our ministry is about preparing people for our Lord's return. We're about getting ready as believers in Jesus Christ. Our support comes from people like you who pray for us, people like you who are willing to invest in this program so others will hear the inconvenient truth about these perilous times. We welcome your gifts and correspondence sent to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can give securely online at olivetreeviews.org or by phone at 763-559-4444. When Jan returns, next up, Eric Barger. Please stay with us.
This ministry is carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. It is a captivating look at our times from a man who lives in Israel, the land of Bible prophecy. I'm an endorser of this book. Find it in my web store, olivetreeviews.org, or give my office a call, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, Central Time. It makes a wonderful gift item as well. With the holidays approaching, it is also offered in my print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. The Last Hour will encourage you to look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. He will connect some dots for you as it concerns events of the last days and just may convince you that it is indeed the Last Hour.
Today in Understanding the Times, you've been hearing up-close and personal interviews with our fall conference speakers. In this last segment, Eric Barger shares some pertinent information about security and our technological age. Here again, Jan Markell.
Folks, remember this program always posted to my website Saturday morning. Many of you are running around. You don't have time necessarily to get near a radio unless it's in your car, but oneplace.com has a mobile app. You can sign up for my website. You can listen online, olivetreeviews.org. Go to radio. You can download an MP3 at my website as well or at oneplace.com. And we're going to wrap up this hour now. And I'm wrapping it up with one of my speakers, Eric Barger. Again, as I teased a moment ago, Christians have no idea, people in general have no idea, they are being surveilled all the time. Gadgets, Alexa, their phone, and more. And Eric Barger has given us an awesome warning about all of this, the surveillance society. And so I've got a 6 or 7 minute interview here of Eric talking about some of these issues as he, again, gives a final warning. It may be called surveillance capitalism. That may sound pretty innocent, but in the wrong hands, it can be terribly dangerous. Ultimately, it will go into the hands of the Antichrist. And that is our word of warning, though the church, of course, is not present during Antichrist's reign. But all of you probably know folks who will be here. So let's head over and let Eric Barger in this short 6 to 7 minute interview wrap up our hour.
I think Christians have no idea how they are being surveilled, whether it be their phone, whether it be even more blatant than that through Alexa and these various gadgets. So give them another warning.
We kind of got an idea when the whole NSA scandal broke a few years ago. We found out that there was some surveillance going on, but it became so muddy very quickly about how much it was and what was happening that a lot of us have forgotten, or maybe the news bypassed us back then. But we're being surveilled all the time. Mm. And so our privacy and eventually our ability to be able to receive truth or receive all the facts and to be able to speak and have free speech, all those things are kind of balled together. And as you usually know, in this message I've got and what we did on radio and what I'm doing here at the conference, it kind of works all together, our privacy, our free speech, and, of course, the surveillance, all that is happening around us.
Well, in the wrong hands, I mean, obviously this can all become a Frankenstein in the wrong hands, and I think you and I are interested in how the Antichrist can step in and abuse and will abuse all of this surveillance, this invasion. And we're talking about that with one of my other speakers as well, Billy Crone,
right.
Artificial intelligence, and your issues cross over a little bit. But the whole point of it is we've had an explosion of technology in the last 50 years in the right hands. It's wonderful. It gets the gospel around the world. In one click of a mouse, the gospel is sent to the four corners. In the wrong hands, it's really dangerous.
It is. And the thing is that technology is not going to slow down. It's going to speed up, and it is speeding up. And there's so much coming at us that none of us can keep track of it. Billy and I sat last evening and talked about this, how fast the speed up of not only the information coming at us that we cannot assimilate, but also the way in which it's transferred and the other things. I believe there are probably, and I don't want people to be paranoid about this, I'm not, but I believe, knowing what I know about this stuff, that there is probably technology out there right now that we just have no idea that will take our breath away when we find out what's going on about it. Some of it, as you pointed out, can be used to spread the gospel. Some of it will be used at the hands of Antichrist. I feel without any doubt that's the case, that this system of surveillance in particular is being built, and they don't realize it. The people who are involved with it don't realize it. They are using the technology. They see it as great steps ahead for mankind,
right.
But eventually Antichrist will use that system.
So privacy really is just a total thing of the past. There's no such thing as privacy.
I read in Time magazine, it's right in the beginning slides of my message in my DVD series, that privacy is only an illusion.
Okay.
And it was an article from about 5 years ago on surveillance. It was called The Surveillance State.
Okay. So, you know, how do you warn, particularly Christians? I mean, all right, many of them, at the very least, have an iPhone. It's spying on them. As we say that, if they haven't heard radio, if they haven't heard any of your presentations, that's new news to them.
Yeah.
Their cell phone is spying on them.
Yeah, and not only is it just what we're saying, but it's the things we've entered into our accounts.
Thank you.
And it's also the idea of where we are, the location, whether location is turned on or off on the phone, frankly, is only material about the apps you have because, for example, in the case of Google with Android phones, they are aware of where your phone is, even if it's on airplane mode and it's never been activated.
Never been activated.
That's shocking when you come to that realization that phone is sending a signal. As soon as you put it into a Wi-Fi signal or activate it so that cell towers can pick it up, that's immediately sending information back to Google. And Google gets that so they can then advertise to you. They want to use it for advertising, but somebody eventually is going to use that to actually see where people are and surveil them. And of course, it'll all be about the categories, classifications of people, and so on.
So what was the most shocking thing that you found in your research on surveillance and the intrusion? What was the most shocking thing? Quite frankly, I've been through 2-3 hours of some of your findings, and I could pick out a dozen things that would shock the daylights out of me.
The one thing that I have repeated to people over and over when they've asked me what I'm working on or what's new is, we get in a conversation about this, I will say I thought I was pretty well read. I'd researched a lot. I had looked at things that were affecting Christians around the world. I really didn't understand how deep and how large the surveillance system of China is.
Of China?
China.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a model that, sadly, some American cities are using to see how they can use the same kind of system. And, of course, the idea and the way it'll be promoted to the public is that this is going to deter crime and be able to find dementia patients easier by having all the cameras, or runaway kids, or, you know, you can imagine any of these kind of things. But when I saw what China is doing with about 200 million cameras in use today, and they say by 2020, they're saying outright they're going to have 670 million closed circuit TV cameras for surveillance in China.
Again, find these products at my website in our store, olivetreeviews.org. Give us a call. We'll find them in my print and e-newsletter.
Pastor Mark Henry from Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, roamed around the 2018 Understanding the Times conference and found people who wanted to talk about this conference and its impact on their lives.
Welcome to Understanding the Times. We are at the conference today, and we are meeting with friends and just hearing all the great reports about things that God is doing in people's lives.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota. This is my second time here. Last year was amazing, and I think the biggest thing was being with over 6,000 people, learning about the end times. and just being of like mind. It was just quite an experience. I mean, just overwhelming, actually.
Amen.
And you heard the many topics presented in these interviews, and as we wind down 2018, one thing is clear to everyone. Everything is falling into place. Nothing is falling apart in God's eternal plan. He has everything under control. Jerusalem remains the key to understanding our times. Watching and waiting for his return is now talked about only by a few in the remnant church, even as the growing lawlessness in our land is a herald of his coming. As the closer we get to the end of the church age, the more out-of-control activity we will start to see, something that culminates in the tribulation from which the church is absent. I hope and pray these short interviews have further encouraged you to understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall, and to look up knowing our redemption draws nigh. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to report current events from a biblical perspective across America and the World Wide Web. This broadcast comes to you every weekend at no cost. It cost us thousands of dollars. To help us produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? This is an ever-changing world. Men and women of faith need to be aware of current events viewed through the lens of Scripture. Each week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling program to point out hidden dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're inviting you to join us in this listener-supported ministry. To become our financial partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are welcome at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. For around-the-clock global updates with a biblical worldview, visit olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you this week. Thank you for praying for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour, all designed to help you understand the times.